A couple extras, but we do have three, so entertain a motion, we open our pre-council work session.
So moved.
Motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, welcome, thank you for coming. Like we were just here. 7 days ago. As we look over the agenda, any clarifications you would like before we move on to part C there? Part three?
Just a note, our resolution 1833, it looks like there were a couple of typos. Page 25 in the packet. Just the wrong date was called out.
Let's look at that.
Which resolution?
1833, it's on page 25 of the packet.
Which date in there, Susan? Which whereas is it?
The third whereas.
Third whereas.
And now therefore.
So one says the 19th, one says the 25th.
It wasn't the 25th, it was the 26th.
26.
So that is the 26th. It's in that paragraph twice. Good pickup, I don't know my name.
And then the now therefore, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, 25th again.
Thank you. Welcome, Councilor Moore. Any review of the agenda items that you had?
I will probably ask to wait to review the business license until after the September conference, to see if we can address it.
Oh.
Because they're intent not to know what business is, but that the council is not ours only, but is saying that that's probably the way to go, so.
So we can not do that part of the agenda tonight?
Yeah, and wait until September, and we'll try to bring it up and talk about what the intent was or what suggestions they have.
Thank you. So we won't have item seven.
Does this control forward or backward?
Then we'll move on to item three, discussion on charge for services calculations. Mr. Beersbach.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Lisa's going to be bringing these pages up as well. Before we get into that, I would like to go back for just a moment to a week ago when we were talking about the utility rates. Councilmember Stewart asked in regards to what the demographics were as far as the usage on the tiers that have been created. So based on the May billings, we sent out or generated 5,259 billings. Almost 57% of those were at the 0 to 3,000 level. Just a tad over 33% were at the 4 to 7,000 level. 5% were at the 8 to 10, and then 2.25 were at 11 to 15, and 2.6 were above the 16,000.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Gives you, so almost 90% the bills generated were for less than 8,000 gallons of usage. Okay, charge for services. The information that was put into your packet, this first page is just the historical data from the financials in regards to these charges. And as you look at them, you'll notice that from 2012 to 2013, there was a pretty big decrease. Off the top of my head, I'm not going to be able to answer for you along these numbers as to why there may be a larger increase in some years than other years, or in this instance, why there was a reduction made. I just haven't had the time to go back and do that type of research. But since, yes?
You'd mentioned to me in a private conversation once that you thought that perhaps the fluctuations were due to capital outlay not being pulled out after they're expired or paid out.
It's possible. And I want to touch on that a little bit as well. And this is a good segue because we have, off of the other two sheets, those are going to be the numbers that would be incorporated into the fiscal year 19 budget. However, once we implement the lease purchase, there are some heavy equipment items in that lease agreement that get utilized by the streets department and parks department, a little bit by water and sewer. So based on the amount of usage estimations that John has given me, the cost of that heavy equipment then gets allocated based on those percentages. And
so in regards to that, one of the things I suggested over time is that we separate out those line items. We don't include it within, so in charges for services, there's a charge for service for the administration, posting, whatever that is, and then there's a separate line for capital outlay, such as what's happening with the lease.
And we can do that, although what it would be, for example, perhaps in the, say the sewer fund, it may be if the asset is primarily used in the streets department, that's where we're going to carry that asset. So then what we would do is it would be a transfer of $15,000 from the sewer to the general fund, so that $15,000 would be used for the payment of that piece of equipment. But yes, it can be split out in that manner if you wish for it. Either that or based on, now that we have the calculation sheets, there can be a little asterisk name for that. Okay, fiscal year 19, this piece of equipment added $15,000 to the charge for service. Whichever way the council wishes to go.
I can't remember what year it was, but part of the answer going back is there was one year where there was a period of time where there was a $900,000 lease carried over a period of years. And that could have, I mean, that's what showed up in the,
sure,
the financials and the audits, but I can't remember the year, I'd have to look. But.
Well, and I think the last time we did a large fleet lease, we ended up crossing fiscal years before all of the equipment and vehicles were purchased. So there was, and I think that was back in like 13, 14 maybe. I don't, but anyways,
okay.
Something like that. So anyways, I guess though, if you look at, where's the
little? He needs his laser.
Yeah.
The red.
I'm
yeah.
Hooked.
So right here's the big drop, but then if you go from 13 forward, it's really a pretty level increase, which I haven't run the numbers, but I think it was generally done as a 4% increase, maybe a 5% increase, without having the actual calculation sheet. So it was, so that I believe is where then from 2013 gets us to where we are in 2018. And then of course we've got the new calculation sheets for 2019. And before we get to those, are there any other questions in regards to the history of these numbers? Like I said, I can't tell you where they all came from, but the last 5 years seem to be pretty consistent in regards to just a maybe a consumer price index increase, if you will, in regards to those numbers.
Yeah, just looking at the numbers, going back a little further, the only other group of years that really I wonder about is 2005 and 6. Because 2005 to 2006, almost every one of them doubled, some of them more than doubled.
Wow.
Over that 1 year period, and that was just interesting to me. Mm. I know 2005 has a lot of interesting things, including that, but I guess it would be interesting to me to see why, but really if you look at 2011 till 2016, it was very stable. The increase was like 3.5%, like you said.
So, that was way high.
And then now, and last year I believe it was 10% in some, and I mean, I figured it out at one point, but I guess the consistency of it all and just trying to figure out, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, but I think some of those questions about why we ended up where we were, and I've looked at other cities, and some cities charge more, and some cities charge less, and so I like the fact that we're linking it to something, but linking is going forward versus going back to a reasonable, because it looks like, I don't know, I guess I just want to make certain it's a reasonable charge. That's the basic thing.
The only thing I can think of off the top of my head in 2005 is maybe when that would have been the first year the debt for the new facility came into play.
That's
possible.
That's true.
But so from there, let's go ahead and go to the next page.
So that's a great point. So if we built a building twice as big as this, that would increase the charge for services because the building itself is part of that.
A portion. A portion, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
let's not do it.
So what if someone leased just part of this building? Would that lower that?
Depending on which part they leased, and I'll touch on that in part of the calculation as far as how I calculated those numbers in regards to the debt service allocation, okay?
Boy, building this building is a gift that keeps giving.
Okay, so this is for fiscal year 19 for the water, sewer, storm drain, and garbage allocation charge for services. The top portion is dealing with the staffing and the employees that are paid out of the general fund, but a portion of their time is doing enterprise fund functions. I've gone down basically for all those that I could think of that are involved in the enterprise functions, and then tried to come up with a reasonable percentage based on some conversations with them. I've gone over these percentages with Matt to see if they seemed reasonable. And
do we have to provide a study for that? Or can it be determined by us what is reasonable?
I believe we can do it internally. As long as we have, again, it's a reasonable to go for an outside third-party study. I can't imagine that would be a requirement by the state or from our auditors, unless these numbers were unreasonable. But as I've looked over them, I think they are relatively reasonable in regards to the time that various employees spend in the enterprise functions.
You better bump me up to about 20%.
That's an average, right? It's an average.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the other 1% is...
Yeah. Obviously, this is not an exact science. No. It's just kind of... estimating things out and taking a look at what is done and by whom is being done, so.
So if we raise wages, we're in essence also going to increase the.
Or if an employee, a tenured employee leaves and it is hired in at a lower rate, that will bring that down. So now that we have this.
How does that happen?
Oh, it happens. But now that we have this in place, it can be updated on an annual basis so that as we go through this process, we will be using current numbers for this calculation, but also for all of the direct expenses that we'll talk about in just a moment that are listed below. So, Lisa, can you scroll up just a little bit? So then from there, whoops.
Just a little bit.
There you go. So then here, these are all operating expenses that, again, are paid by the general fund, but are utilized for the operations of the enterprise funds. And here again, I've just gone down through the budget to determine and looked like, okay, is this applicable, is it not applicable? I don't know if you have any specific questions on any of these, just go ahead and pipe up, but let's go to some of these.
Steve, before you leave, can I just back up a little bit?
Sorry.
For some of those of you who have not played in this pond for a long time, back in the late 70s, early 80s, the Office of Management and Budget had what they called Form A-102, and it was a whole process you would go through to determine what your indirect costs were for operations and funds. It's not a new concept, it's something that's been around for quite a while. And that's really all you're talking about is covering those costs. And we've been doing that for 35 years.
Yeah.
So Steve, mm-hmm. I know I've asked for this for years. So this existed before, but why the gap?
Okay. So I did find a version of this in my files back in 2012. Okay. And I had lost track of it. I don't know if I lost track of it one time when I got a new computer or, because obviously I have hundreds of different files and spreadsheets and everything within stored in my files. And I couldn't, well, and now I've learned, if you will, if you'll scroll down just a little bit more. I tag everything that I do now. So I know where everything is being stored so that if any of you have a form that comes from me and whether it be current or old, I now know the path as to where I have that stored, which in the past I didn't do. Who knows? We all get better at what we do as time passes.
Yeah, I agree. So can we be certain in the validity and reliability of the numbers over the last 5 years?
I think we can be fairly certain, and I say that because when before I had found the calculation sheet and I had prepared the tentative budget, I again put in, I think it was maybe a 4 or 5% escalator. And after I found the calculation sheet and I put in all the current numbers and I looked at the bottom figure as far as the total charge for services for all the enterprise funds, it was really very close to what was in the tentative budget. Now, in cumulatively, it was very close. The actual numbers, I think, for water and sewer, based on the calculations, have gone up some, but storm drain and garbage have gone down some. So it's really very close. So I think, yes, that you can have reasonable insurance and feel comfortable with the last 5 years in regards to the charge for services. I guess maybe if you have any interest, I can go over how I calculated like the debt for service portion, which kind of plays into some of the utilities and maintenance of the building as well. If you don't have any interest in that, that's fine. I'll skip over it and we can move on to something else. But if there is interest, I can go through that briefly so that you have a little bit better understanding on how that has come about. Okay, having none, let's go to the next page. The next page is then doing the charge for service for the ambulance fund. It's basically the same concept, except obviously these percentages are significantly less. And then down below on the services and supplies, the utilization there is also significantly less. And here in the tentative budget, I think it came in at 69,000. And based off of the formula that's being used here, it is 64 or 65,000. So there again, very close to what was estimated, which I think leads to that assurance level you were looking for in regards to the last 5 years.
But, and these were our packet and the new one?
The emails.
Yeah.
Today.
Yes.
Yeah, when Matt sent out the packet on Friday night, he inadvertently omitted these pages, but they did get sent out.
It's pages 8 and 9 now.
Yeah, they did get sent out yesterday.
Yesterday. I saw it in there, but it was 455.
Pages 8 and 9.
So. Okay. So that's basically the charge for services calculations that we've been using. And if there's not any further questions, I'll turn it back over to the mayor and to Matt.
Thank you, Steve.
First, you know what, Zora, I'm going to say something.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know it's been a long time waiting. I apologize for that. But I'll refer you to, I think it was January when we were doing new council member training and all the departments said, well, we'd like to have a new employee or we'd like to have this equipment. From the administration perspective, we asked for your patience. So I thank you for that. So.
Anything else you'd like to discuss? This part of the show.
So,
yes, please.
I think whoever, well, you know the person who donated, but I think we ought to let them name that dog the canine. He probably wants to be anonymous, is that correct?
I'm going to check with him. He didn't indicate.
Oh, okay. So, but either way, I think we ought to name the dog.
We talked about that. Unless he already comes named.
Dogs always have the names.
Then we can, but what we
middle name, right?
We talked about involving him somehow in that. Yeah.
That was the trouble you called by the whole name.
That's like wrong.
Yeah.
Jacob, did you go by Smith?
Do you remember, Brent, you remember Georgia Parton?
Who?
Georgia Parton, she graduated maybe.
Oh, yeah.
It's her dad.
Yeah. This is that where you were. Yeah.
Yes.
Do we know why? Has he benefited from the dog in the past? Or just he saw people getting dumped and said, I'm going to help out, or what?
His comment was, you need to have a dog. That's awesome.
There was a family from Tremont. You know, they're down there for the cowboy stuff. But we went over and said, we can take it, or... You want the officers? I want to give it to the officer. when we went through the crowd with the bucket. He'd given each one of his kids $1 bill to put in the bucket.
How much did we raise from the bucket?
It looked like it was $2.50.
Really? Do we know?
$2,500, not $2.50.
Really? That's pretty good.
There's a table there, they sold the t-shirts and the dunk tank.
What about the volleyball?
Oh, corporate volleyball was for that too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 14, so whatever you charge for that. We just need to relocate, I know it's later, but.
No, but what I was gonna say with that is, the staff's gonna have, they're gonna have a debrief and get input from the different department heads, what they saw, didn't see, from Amber, from Matt. But we can have some input too, so.
Just email you things, or?
Well, in the past, staff will debrief once Amber recovers and.
She's almost out.
And so we always do a staff debrief, and we invite the mayor to come and just listen in. But that's our opportunity from an operations standpoint to say, you know, how did things go? And then we compile that, and then we put it on the agenda, and then we'll bring those things forward and then give you a chance as elected officials to provide your input to say, well, here's, from our perspective, here's some thoughts and feedback. So, yeah. So that'll be coming.
Financially, we're not as delayed as other last year.
Well, we still haven't paid for the carnival from last year, so I don't know if the delay is there. But I think financially, I think we're going to be pretty good. I don't have any figures, just based on the donations that came in and the fact that she had people sponsoring an event like the Mud Volleyball was all sponsored. So last year that was $1,500 a jerk that we had to pay out that we didn't have to pay out this year because it was sponsored. So that's all going to help the golf tournament. The only question is how much money did it make?
It definitely made money. So thanks everybody for your support and staff.
Finally had a good parade again.
Yeah, sorry?
The parade was good again. I mean, it wasn't good last year, but it was good this year.
Yeah, and we even got some improvements for that the next year too, we thought about already.
I did suffer a minor heart attack trying to catch up to my car.
I did too.
We still haven't determined who blew the whistle and said go on that, but it's under investigation.
It's okay. It was on time. No reason.
Yeah, but no, it's.
The next time we're judging, we just need a vehicle.
Stop.
It's a good way to put it. Runner investigation to find out who started.
Sally
started
the tried to commandeer two vehicles.
You guys said don't do that, and I'm like, why? Did you think it was in front of the line?
They thought it was a carjacking.
So that was you.
I was like, I'm not running to the hill.
You put some dangerous situation.
911's waiting off the board.
All right.
That crazy lady just chased us down.
Give me a ride in the pickup to my car. Anyway, we just need a vehicle. And what that
at least
other
your husband
man.
Waited.
Yeah. Of course he did. A
couple four-wheelers.
Oh, go up and down.
Yeah.
You went away for your wife too.
All right. Sorry, my bad. I brought that up. Anything else on the agenda? Anything else on the later agenda?
She like stopped and started visiting. The print started.
Do you want to know why? Okay. Okay.
All right, then.
Well, I guess we better hear it.
You lost control.
I will. Hold on. I will entertain a motion that we adjourn our work session.
Can I ask one quick question? Is that okay? I understand that, correct me if I'm wrong, the body cameras, we've been using them. It was like a trial offer that we've had for a while. So we're not buying anything that they haven't had, nothing really. It's just actually deciding that we want to keep them and use them. Okay.
And actually, what we'll do is we'll send these demos back.
That was my next question. How long is a body camera? What's its lifetime?
That is a good question. I would imagine we would have to get some damage or something, at least probably 5 years.
Cool.
Do you have any? I know that I don't know if there's a warranty on them or whatnot, but they're very good about if the body camera fails,
we give it back to the lieutenant, he sets it in, they send a replacement.
Oh, really? And then Mayor, I have two more questions.
Yeah, don't worry, this is what's for.
Yeah, thank you.
Got off track.
Oh, I think that contract is a 5-year contract, so I would be inclined to think then that the life of cannabis at least 5 years.
Yes, cool. Wasatch Football League. Last year we had a little discussion whether or not Uinta was going to join us. Is that part of this discussion at all? Or excuse me, yeah, South Weaver? No.
It stayed the same. South Weaver does not have a program, a tackle football program. So the league, y'all, your league voted to send them to South Lawn. So nothing has changed.
To join up with us here at South Lawn.
Correct.
And we plan on doing that going forward.
Yes. It was done for a lot of years that South Weaver said we could do it on our own. Yeah. They pulled out for 5 years, maybe a few more, and then it disbanded, and then they've come back to us.
Does this contract that we're looking at tonight have anything to do with South Weaver?
No.
Well, I guess that's not quite true.
It does.
It's the same terms and conditions that we had last year, which means we include them in our program. Right. So it's unchanged last year.
So maybe, maybe not. I think there was some disagreement last year that may or may not have fell through the cracks. I don't have a strong opinion on this, but I think we wanted the South Weaver residents to pay more than the South Ogden residents. And that didn't happen.
We had that discussion, and I think
council can correct me if I'm wrong, but they are forced to come to us. They are forced. They have no option to go. They can't go to Layton. They can't go to Roy. They can't go to Harrison. They have got to come directly to us.
That's fine.
But that's why you charge that same fee. You're punishing the South Weaver residents to come to us. If you want to charge them a fee, you're either going to lose them. Well, you'll lose them. They just won't play. I think is what will take place.
It's already expensive to play football, but I guess if I'm a South Ogden resident, which I am,
comes to dawn.
They need to bear the cost. Now, we went to South Weaver and said, will you pay for some officials? Will you pay for this or that? And they said no. So if South Weaver City is not going to pay for it, then why should our residents subsidize football?
You have a deeper problem here, Brent, and that's the way the franchise agreement is written. I mean, I've been railing against this for 10 years. That way that contract is written, either it's a take it or leave it proposition. If you want football, you're going to play on their terms. So the way you're going to have to address that is to go to the board of the WFFL and get them to make those kinds of changes. Your franchise doesn't permit that.
Don't we charge a little bit more already for non-residents?
You do for every sport but tackle football. So everything other than tackle football. Because the South Weaver kids, they can play baseball here, they can go to Ogden City, they can go to Roy, they can go to Lake, they can go anywhere they want. There's an ethic code that you know, between the rec that says, you know, if I'm a South Weaver resident and I'm registered in Ogden City, we want the numbers to stay in Ogden City. You know what I mean? But we can't force them to do that. Tackle football is a different animal. It is, they are either required, if they want to play tackle football, they come to South Ogden, unless we don't have a team. If we don't have a team, then they have to go to the next surrounding city.
This might not be a fair question, but how much are we subsidizing them, if at all?
For teams?
Yeah.
I know that, for instance, my boys' team won't be able to have a team, and they wouldn't be able to play if we didn't have the South Weaver kids.
It will affect your numbers,
right?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I would dare say
football's changing.
30, if football is changing, tackle football is, in the next 5 years, it is changing dramatically.
Yeah.
But I would dare say 30% of your tackle football participants, you have 100 to 130 kids playing, 30% is probably South Weaver kids, would be my guess.
So that's our kids that have teams.
It does help your kids have that team, you know. If not, you're gonna have playing up or not being able to play. You know, yeah. I mean, our numbers are already lower just because of the dynamics of tackle football right now.
And we're talking small numbers.
We have right now registered, we have about 100, don't quote me, 110, 510 kids registered. I don't know how many are South Weaver or not, but that's about what we have.
Well, let's pass an ordinance stating that eligibility for high school football begins in WSJFL.
When you're nine.
That way we can, yeah.
I like it.
Teasing.
I like it. Sal, go ahead, Sal.
Is there a way to make it pay for itself? Is that just way too expensive? Can it just be shared, the cost shared among the people that play football? Whether it be South Weaver or South Ogden or...
You could raise your fee, but you wouldn't have anybody play.
We subsidize it that much that they wouldn't want to play if they paid their price of it?
Yeah.
It's a $200 fee already.
It's $180.
Do we end up paying?
Really?
And is any of that a refundable deposit?
$100 is refundable if they bring the equipment back.
So it's only an $80 fee?
An $80 fee, yep. So it's $180 is what we charge. $100 goes back to them.
So $80, and how much does it really cost them to...
What's that? I'd have to get you exact numbers there per player. We can do that. Easy. I mean, your football helmets could run you...
$250.
Yeah, you need to depend on the type of football helmet you get.
And the budget is just...
It's tackle football. It's broken out specifically as tackle football, just because of the dynamics of South Weaver. It's broken out.
But their charge is just for the rental? That's the only charge they have is for the rental?
If they don't bring back, no, they get an $80 fee.
Yeah, there's an $80 fee.
Okay, and then the rental is $100? And you get it back if you bring it back.
Bring it back, yeah, this is a deposit.
So they don't pay for the use of the equipment?
No, it's just guaranteeing that they'll bring it back.
So you could charge them for the use of the equipment?
You could charge them more than refund half of it, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like you charge them the fee, $50 for the use of the equipment, and $100
charge $200, refundable. Give them back $100.
So you have...
You have a lot of residents that you're going to affect.
Really?
You'd be surprised how many come in and work out a payment plan to make the deposit work for us.
So is that
per
child is 80?
Yeah. One child. You pay
$100 per child?
Now you're thinking of it as 80, but these people have to pay 180 and they're not getting that $100 back for 2 or 3 months. So,
yeah, no,
so to them, that's,
last year I had
that's why they're on payment plan.
And we break, so if they're, yeah, two
and
children
paid for,
play,
I've paid for people.
Your deposit is lessened, but your fee stays the same.
But when we talk about this, like when we talk about anything else, we say, well, it's 100 people or 20 people or 30 people. And sometimes I think, you know, maybe we look and say, oh, well, this is however many families it is. Okay, but in another situation right across the street, it may be X same number of families, but, oh, we're not going to, you know, cater to that situation, but we're going to cater to them in this
there
situation.
There are fee waivers, though, for sports, so if kids... their families can't afford to play. They have fee waivers and they can't still play.
We call it a scholarship fund.
I guess what I'm saying is...
that from the city?
Somebody donates to the city.
Point here.
Yeah,
the point
what
is
I'm saying is that 100 people out of 17,000 residents is still only 100 people out of 17,000 residents. And in other things, when we're discussing it, we're like, well, it's only 20 people or it's only 50 people, and so why doesn't that same point apply to recreation is my point.
I think the larger philosophical discussion for you as council members is there value in providing recreation to the youth at a subsidy? I mean, that to me is because I think I don't know that any rec programs would pay their way. Because when we talk about pay your way, we're talking about, you know, every staff member's time and benefits that goes into the managing it, the fields, all of those costs. So to truly look at it in that way, I don't see any program would survive that kind of, you know, approach. So again, I think the discussion is, at what point do you decide that maybe there's a not enough bang for our buck in this, and what does that mean? Is it worth it? So I think that's the ultimate discussion is.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah.
You know, I coached football for a lot of years, and I played football for that time, and things have changed. It used to be at Bonneville, you'd get 50 to 60 sophomores out. Guys, you're getting 22.
Got half that now, yeah.
23.
What other?
And it's going all the way down the line. It used to be that a lot of groups would have two teams. There'd be two teams, is that right, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We used to max in our heyday, we were pushing 250. That was with South Weaver, too, and that was with a little bit of Ogden City. Then they pulled Ogden City from us. That's been quite a few years ago. We were down to 225 with South Weaver. South Weaver pulled out. We probably averaged, and then we were 150, would be my guess, and then we just slowly gone back.
So I guess the question is, what if we pulled out of football, then they would assign us to the Terrace and South Weaver to the Terrace, right? I mean, what would happen?
Not necessarily. It'd be up to your board. Your board could send our residents to Ogden City. Our board could, they could send us to the Terrace. Any surrounding city they could send us to. Anybody we work with, they could send us to.
See, it sounds like we need a more cooperative effort, and that's really what we wanted last year, is more of a cooperative effort. That South Ogden, South Weaver, I'm fine working with them.
It's not the city, that's the WGFL.
It's the WFFL. So you have, yeah, your president, everything that kind of works through there, your board members, and then we have one representative from the city, which is Juliana.
Subcontract out.
Yeah, and if you pull out your team, then you don't have a member on the board.
That's not my point. My point is that we're still in the middle of it. South Lyon City's still in the middle of it. The South Weaver pulls out. Now they're out of it.
That's an option. An option is to get out.
Let's work this out. We want your kids to play with us. We want to. Well, let's work this out to where it's more equitable. Because it does have a cost to us as a city.
I agree, and I think there's a lot of hidden costs that people don't see. I know for a fact that my kids' team, one of their coaches was from South Weaver. He's a South Weaver resident, and he spent over $1,500 of his own money in the team. That didn't come from South Ogden. He spent that money on game film, on parties for the kids.
Well, and that's fine, but that's, you know, that's kind of outside of what we're.
I get what you're saying, but then we take it away. Then we send them, like you said, maybe.
I'm not saying we take it away. I'm saying we
terrorists
be more equitable. I'm not.
Is there value in the rec program for the youth?
I've always thought there was value in recreational programs, parks, and those things. But you know, we got to balance things.
I think your younger kids, eventually you'll see flag football pickups team. You know, I think is where you're going to see this tackle football shift. We struggle when you hit midget BAM age, which is junior high. That's where we really lose interest. But you go to Davis County, they pick up because they don't have junior high football, so they're stronger. We go to South. A lot of our kids go to South. We're already up and rolling by the time tackle football starts, so they can't come back and play. So. I think in the next few years you're going to see a shift from the tackle football to, California right now is
pass the ball. It's much cheaper to run.
It is. It's a lot cheaper. That's something we run right now. Flag football or California passed their law. I think you as a youth you can't play. Don't quote me on it, but I think it's 12 years old before you can put on a helmet, and that puts us our 12 year olds. We just don't. That's your junior high age. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're seeing the WFFL this year, there was a big discussion on they want to do something with essentially a comp flag football, which is a totally different element, than what we're doing right
now. So the concussion issue starts to alleviate a little bit when they're 12? As maturity.
I have no clue where the 12-year-old is. I know California has passed some that says 12-year-old.
Well, we didn't have such things, rec football, and when I grew up, and we had to start when we were in ninth grade. That's the first time.
See, I played fourth grade. I'd go across the street every day.
Yeah, we played right here in this park.
Yeah. Any fourth grade champions here?
Nope.
No. I didn't play until you were my coach.
Are there are all recreation programs probably subsidized by half?
No. tackle football is yours one. Your comp, so if you look at your comp does really well. Comp brings in quite a bit of money. We make sure as we charge the fees and rent the gym that that covers for, like Matt was saying, you know, our officials, our scorekeepers, you know, as we rent it out, we actually charge a cleaning fee for the gym. So you make quite a bit of money there on the gym. But when you run the rest of your rec programs, most of them are very close to breaking even. They're right there. You may lose a little bit or make a little bit.
And you really think that explaining it to the athletes and the parents that we just need to break even on this?
Well, there's a ton of hidden costs to every program.
No, I know. And we're not counting everything. And that $80 does not cover the hidden costs. And even just the equipment alone is mainly our cost, right? I mean, that's.
Well, you've got equipment, you've got football field paint, you got the maintenance of the field, you got officials.
Officials, that's huge.
You got a chain gang. I mean, there's all kinds of things that
are more than what we have for normal other things.
Well, each sport has its own
officials.
Whether you're doing a field, you're doing a court, whatever you're doing, all that maintenance is there. It's just football is a little more expensive.
Yeah, there's tons of hidden costs to all sports programs, especially football. But the chief will know this. There's a ton of cost to not having sports programs for your youth, whether it's in their personal development, in their growth, in their self-worth, what they're going to do, yeah, et cetera. So let me give something a little anecdotal here. Roy High School, for many years, struggled in their math and their chemistry and their sciences program. They're at the bottom of the state in a lot of ways, until Freddie Fernandez gets hired. And all of a sudden, their football team is winning, and their scores at their school are like 20% higher than the year before. And the next year, 20% higher. And Freddie gets a raise. And all the teachers, Freddie's not a teacher. No. He's just got a certificate, right? And all the teachers go to the principal and they say, what the heck? You know? And she says, when you bring your scores up by 40%, you get a raise too. Right? There's more to life than just how much was it. There's a cost for everything, and there's also a payout that comes when you teach your kids that there's activities and they can be a part of it, and they're on a team, and they bring their goals and all that kind of stuff. We start taking away from the kids' opportunities, I would struggle with that decision.
I don't say we should take
Although
away
there, is a, there is a comment about flag football. Flag football is coming up. Yeah. Is changing. However, I'll say that tackle football, the amount of time and energy that goes into that is different.
It's a different kind of
flag football.
Yeah,
it's a
different definitely. Kind of the preparation of the field. You go from painting 100 yards every 10 to painting a field goal to 20 to 40, and then we're done. You know what I mean? So even from the field maintenance,
won the whole thing.
You know, you have two officials that I can pay a high school. The WFFL, I'm paying a high school certified rep. They're dictating what wage I pay them. So, I mean, each recreation program is unique in its own way.
No, I have no doubt that recreation is important. I just feel that maybe you need to pay the cost, a little bit more of the cost of the recreation you choose. I mean, I would probably golf more if it wasn't so dang expensive. I would ski more if it wasn't so expensive.
El Monte 49.
Some of those things are prohibitive because it is expensive. So, you know, I mean, to choose a sport that you can't afford to play, that is hard. I mean, I can ski a couple times a year, I can golf once a year, that's it. It's if it's expensive, and I just think if the parents are choosing, that's I just would assume they could pay more for that sport. That's all. I'm not saying get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel we need to get rid of anything. I would love to have more. I would love to have tennis and pickleball and everything. I mean, I think we need more sports. I just think that we probably don't need to subsidize them quite so much, maybe.
Well, what's Hank Williams and his friends going to do on Monday night?
They're
That's going to be a problem.
They're going to be on Madison Avenue.
All my rowdy friends are still down.
So all the rowdy friends is play football. Okay.
You know what?
All my rowdy friends are settled down.
Yeah.
Okay. Let them bash on the field. Okay.
I mean, pretty much, right?
No, that's good discussion. That's something we need to consider.
The other thing, well, we can, if you want, the other thing was the video I sent you guys about the
Alley.
Alley. And before I left, my daughter called me, so that's why she said, did you see the rant on Facebook about the alley in South Ogden that no one's taking care of? I said, yeah, I have the video. We know it. Tonight told me yesterday, so this is barely, I barely got the message. So it's just, you didn't get, I didn't send it to you guys. It's just the alley that between and Ogden that we took a while to clean up a long time ago. I've been working on to get cleaned up. We cleaned it up, and now a homeless guy's living back there. And there's a bunch of
so what, just east of, or south of Wells Fargo?
Yeah.
We're going south Wells Fargo parking lot, try to go back onto the old Sandals or what it is,
yeah.
T-shirt
shop. T-shirt shop.
That alleyway right there. It's been cleaned up. It's just a individual.
Pat, I mean.
Yep, he's inhabited it, taking it over, and I believe he was taken away.
The police had to move.
He was escorted away without his belongings, so his belongings.
That's weird. He's probably going to come back again. But anyway, that, you know.
The alleyway?
Raise money for something.
We tried to get the alleyway to the residents, but it's back with Kim. We've had this. It's either all or none. You can't just do the people at this end, the people in the middle, and then the people, because we don't have access to do that. So it's got to be the alleyway all the way across. So from.
Well, we have worked on that. It's really hard to get the community together to take it over, take over half of it. They've got the fences already, and then you want to, you know, we tried.
It's an outdoor bowling alley.
And with that?
Well, anyway, if you guys hear it or see it, that's what it is.
You can have trouble.
Cricket.
And there's nothing wrong with parking there. You just have to kind of move them along.
What's that?
Just move them along. There's nothing you can do, really, or what do you do?
It's like hanging out at the park, really.
Oh, it's a city property, so they're just on city property hanging out.
But if he's, when they establish camping.
No overnight camping in the parks.
No camping. No camping.
Can you stop people camping in the
nature park?
They
close.
Oh, yeah. Teenagers or actually?
Is that you?
No, that was me, but I've seen them.
All right. Entertain a motion that we adjourn our work session. All in favor?
Aye.